another episode of the Touchpoints podcast put on by East Point Bible Church. In this episode, we will be continuing in our series of episodes drawing from the book Cultivation of Christian Character by J. Oswald Sanders. And in our episode today, we'll be focusing on the subject of fellowship and communion with God. When the whole of Scripture is examined, it is clear that fellowship and communion with God are one of the chief ends of God's providential plan, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And the foremost experience of human existence is this fellowship and communion with God. God created man to know him closely, and in the end of time, God will dwell with his people in a way where they can see his face, as we see in Revelation 22, verse 4. The great desire of God for his people is fellowship, and the defining mark of God's people is fellowship with God, two truths prevalent through Scripture. Consider how obvious this priority is in salvation. While elements of salvation are certainly judicial and legal in focus, i.e. justification described in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26, the end result of salvation is a redeemed person reconciled to God in relationship. We are brought near, adopted, hidden with, and secured in God. Salvation does not only redeem us to a spiritual state of innocence and righteousness, but to a relational status with God. The intentions of God in salvation are relational, to bring those who he has foreknown by love, according to Romans 8:29, into the righteous and redeemed position only possible through the work of Christ. These relational realities with God are immediate. We do not have to wait to become or endure to attain these relational realities that salvation accomplishes or promises. We are reconciled into a relationship with God in the moment of salvation. While the full experience and function of these relational realities might be awaiting us in the future, the believer can presently know with full confidence and assurance their relationship with God because of salvation. Now, all of this is talked about to make one clear point, that the condition of our relationship with God matters greatly. While the positional nature of our relationship with God cannot change, such as our adoption, reconciliation, etc., our communion and connection with him does change. This reality is reflected in our own world through human adoption. A break or damaging of the relationship between an adopted child and parent does not nullify what legally has taken place, but it does affect detrimentally the nature and condition of their relationship. Likewise, while the relational position of the believer is constant and secure because of salvation, the communion and fellowship of the believer with God is conditional and changing. We cannot be separated from God positionally, but our relationship with him can be hindered and can be negatively affected by our own behavior and our own lifestyle choices. We can be close to God in our lives, but we can also be far, even as believers. Now, this issue should be of paramount importance to us because it is of great value to God. But can we say that it matters greatly to us? Sanders writes that one of the distinctive characteristics of human love is its hatred of distance. Once nearness has been experienced, distance becomes intolerable. Love knows no suffering more poignant than that of being out of touch with the lover. If this is true of a man's love for another person, it is no less true of love to God. For once the child of God has experienced the transcendent joy of fellowship with him, he can never be at rest while that relationship is broken. Yet it is wrong to suggest that there are multitudes of Christians who've grown almost accustomed to being out of touch with God. Although it is not without regret that they may recall the blessedness they knew when they first saw the Lord, yet they have come to regard living at a distance from him as almost inevitable. Closeness with God should be such a passionate desire of the believer because of its transcendent value to our whole beings, a passion rooted in the knowledge that we are in a hole amiss if our fellowship with God is struggling. An interesting note that Sanders brings out is that our closeness with God affects more than just ourselves. He writes, "It is possible to have once lived a life of consecration to God, and then by deliberate sin or by simple neglect, to get out of touch with God. This affects not only us, but those whom we could have influenced for God had we been in touch with Him." Sanders argues that our closeness with God determines directly the nature and faithfulness of our ministry to others. The believer cannot represent well or minister effectively when they themselves are far from God because of their life choices. And so I hope the point has been clearly made that fellowship with God is a big deal. It's something that salvation secures and positionally guarantees, but its function, its condition, its status is one that can be increased or decreased, grown or harmed, improved upon or deteriorated. Fellowship is what God desires for us, and it is what He has saved us to have with Him. Now, while our relational status before God is immutable, our fellowship can increase or decrease with the habits of our lives, and the consequences of our fellowship are truly great. It affects more than just ourselves. It affects our ability to witness to others, to minister to others, to be an example to others, as Sanders just argued. And so we're going to look at a couple of key areas in this discussion, this focus on fellowship and relationship with God. The first area of focus is answering the question, how do we remain and grow in fellowship with God? How do you and I walk closely with God in the way that our souls are satisfied richly in God and we connect with God in the way He desires to with us? The main adhesion that causes us to remain steadfastly close to God and not let us go astray is the Word of God pervasively filling and influencing our lives. While a great sinner in many areas of his life and having experienced both the withdrawal of God from him and the closeness of God to him, King David shows us the key to closeness, an unrelenting clinging to God's Word. Grasping firmly the Word of God with one's affection, attention, and application, so more than just merely an intellectual or academic study, those three things, affection, attention, and application to God's Word, leads to continuing faithfully in closeness to God. Examining just one psalm, Psalms 119, the connection between the closeness with God and loving the Word of God is clear. A believer's closeness to the Word shows the status of their closeness to God. An irregularity, an inconsistency, or ignorance of God's Word reveals how we are pursuing and relating to God. But the converse is also true, that those who passionately desire the Word of God with faithfulness and affection, attention, and application possess that which closeness to God requires. And so if our lifestyle is defined by a unrelenting, unremitting, passionate desire for God's Word, where God's Word receives our affection, our attention, and our application, that brings about a closeness to God, because closeness with God is so directly and inextricably related to loving and applying and studying God's Word. They're inseparable. And so to have a good relationship with God's Word is to have a close fellowship with God. Also consider the practice of prayer as a fundamental pillar of the life experiencing closeness to God. At its most basic meaning, prayer is focusing our mind on God in intentional ways. The more we pray, the more God is the focus and object of our mind. Paul's command in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing is a command to be habitually directing our minds to God in everything we do, both on the behalf of others or just to simply give thanks and praise to Him. And so prayer is a segue to closeness to God. So when we obey Paul's command in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, that leads to a lifestyle of habitual mindfulness of God and His place in one's life. So when we pray, we have a mindset that directs ourselves to be close to God. We're reminded about who God is. We're reminded about what God has done. We are refreshed about His word and how He's revealed Himself and the truth about God. Prayer accomplishes that, and the fruit of it is closeness with God. So when we pray, we foster closeness to God in our lives, a regular dependence on Him, consistent expression of affection for Him, and faithfully focusing on Him as the chief reality in our lives. And all of those three things are accomplished in prayer and thus increase the closeness with God we experience in our lives. A final area I want to look at in answering the question how to grow in closeness with God is the importance of obedience. One of the most tragic biblical examples of losing fellowship with God is King Saul. Keeping in mind the context and setting in the Old Testament, Saul had experienced the presence of God through being spirit-filled in 1 Samuel 10 as an example, the blessing of God through his victories over Israel's enemies, and hearing the word of God through Samuel and being God's chosen king of Israel, the first one selected, God chosen. Even though it was Israel's desire as a nation to receive a king, God did choose Saul. But despite all of these experiences, revelations of closeness with God, Saul's disobedience inevitably caused him to be distant from God and lose fellowship with Him. We see this pinnacle of this separation and distance in 1 Samuel 16:14, when the author records that the Holy Spirit left Saul. It was taken from him. The defining moment of Saul's relationship with God came in 1 Samuel 15, when Saul disobeyed God's commandments to destroy everything of the Amalekites, including the Amalekites themselves. But instead of obeying God's will, he spared the king and the best of the livestock. And so he comes to Samuel and returns from this great victory. Samuel approaches him, and Samuel gives this startling and riveting condemnation of Saul. And it's very telling about what caused Saul eventually to be rejected and distanced from God. So in 1 Samuel 15, 23-23, reads this, Samuel said, "Has the Lord much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Moreover, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination as an iniquity in idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." What caused the separation between Saul and God? Disobedience. The disobedient believer, now implementing our own in our own personal lives, the disobedient believer chooses to love and do which God hates, which decreases our closeness with Him. The choice to disobey is the choice to put something between us and God. Saul's disobedience was the direct cause of his distancing from God. Now, the converse is also true, that obedience to God causes growth in our closeness to Him. When we obey, when we are following His word, our affections align with God, our will conforms to His, our life represents His character. God delights in obedience. He cherishes it, which means it is the cause for closeness, which means He welcomes, He invites, He approaches, He embraces those who are obedient because they're living in accordance with His will. And so for us, each choice of obedience is a choice to move closer to God. Now let's get to the second area of focus that we'll finish with. How do we return to closeness with God in our fellowship with Him? Most of us have probably experienced a self-inflicted spiritual drought, maybe more than one, where the three things we have just discussed, the reading of God's Word faithfully, the prevalent and growing prayer life, and consistent obedience, those three things are absent or waning from our lives. And thus, we feel far from God. We feel distant from Him. We feel removed from Him. We feel disconnected from Him. And while the distance from God spiritually has severe consequences that we've already talked about, where it affects our ability to represent Him, to minister to others on behalf of Him, affects our ability to follow Him, affects our ability to please Him. While these consequences are severe of being spiritually distant from God, they are by no means irreversible. Sanders writes, "But lost fellowship with God can be restored." But listen closely. The way back is not easy or costless, but it is possible. The loss of a limb or the loss of an eye is trivial in comparison with the loss of divine fellowship, because our relationship with God affects not only this life, but the life which is to come, not only our lives, but the lives of all with whom we come into contact with. What Sanders is writing is similar to what Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount, where if something's causing you to stumble, if something's causing you to be distant, to be separated from God in the function of your fellowship with Him, then you must be willing to count the cost to remove that, as painful as it might be, from your life. Because fellowship with God is more valuable and more pressing and more important than whatever that loss might be. So how do you and I return to closeness with God? I think we see a biblical blueprint in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. James writes, "Submit to God, therefore. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom." We see three critical actions that need to take place. The first is that believers return to God by arranging themselves under Him in submission. It is impossible to return to a closeness with God without viewing God as the great authority over your life. God draws near to those who lower themselves before Him. We see this all throughout Scripture, in particular in the Psalms, and particularly there, Psalms 34:18. Because those who are lowly in heart, who are contrite in mind, view God correctly. And so submission is critical to regaining closeness. If we're proud, if we're independent, if we think we're self-sufficient, we will not return to closeness with God. The second thing is a recognition of sin and a realization of need are critical. When James commands his audience to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you, he alludes strongly to a frequent command given by Old Testament prophets to wicked Israel. Drawing near to God is an expression of dependence and decision. To draw near would be to let go of what is holding you from Him and to approach Him for the help that you know only He can provide. The beauty of this command is the promise, "and He will draw near to you." The believer then who draws near to God, showing dependency on Him in decision that God must be first, will guaranteed be reciprocated by God drawing near to him in response. And finally, we see submission and drawing near come from the fruition of repentance. At the root of our distance from God is our closeness to sin. Returning to a state of closeness to God demands real repentance, a rejection of sin, and a remorse for doing it. And without rejection and remorse, sin that separates us has not been dealt with. But the one who repents, seeing sin for what it is, responding to it biblically and turning to God for restoration will experience a real bringing together of them and God once more in closeness. I hope the truth that we have discussed and viewed in this episode has challenged you and encouraged you in what it takes to maintain and establish a closeness with God, but also the essential and inevitable choice that has to be made to return to God in fellowship and in connection and communion. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this Touchpoints podcast episode. God bless and grace and peace.
We trust that you have been blessed by listening to this week's episode of Touchpoints, a weekly podcast produced by East Point Bible Church in Peru, Indiana. To learn more about East Point, we would love to connect with you by reaching out via our website at ebcperu.org. That's ebcperu.org.